it's got the tantalizing preparations for a Vietnamese adventure, episode 1 of Crichton Corner, and a discussion of interspecies sexual manipulation in Star Trek.
Daniel was talking about how he had never been to Eden Center, because for whatever reason, that wasn't clear.
You dig it the most.
Let's fucking go to Eden Center.
Yes,
I've never been there.
Daniel asked us to take him to Eden Center.
Yeah, I'm not going by myself.
To like show him where to go and which food to get.
Like, I'm a tourist. I'm going to have an FBI hat and a Virginia's for Lovers shirt.
Just go wherever.
And a fanny pack, and you guys are going to take me up
there.
So
we should do that this weekend. We should take the recorder and go get some pho and some like fried tofu.
I'm down.
And some banh mi, some ice cream business.
It's a ginormous grocery store.
Some Vietnamese coffee.
I've never been in there. I've driven past it.
It's a good idea.
I've been to the Guitar Center. I hang out at that
Guitar Center.
Tu
mente es bueno.
We can go to the Vietnamese grocery store.
Years ago, I went there.
So I need to go, actually.
Well, so anyway, would that be Sunday?
Tomorrow or Sunday. I'm free. Let's do it.
Yes, let's get some food. Let's do something.
Ask Dan about his schedule.
I'm going to be sleeping in tomorrow.
One of these days are going to be on Saturday or Sunday.
Because it gets busy.
It's just going to be one of these days.
I have something to go do at 8:30, and there's like some kind of like...
At night, in the morning.
At night.
Okay.
So like...
It's all right.
But he sleeps until 4.
That's the thing. Yeah.
But then he wants some more.
I'll be getting coffee around 4,
but,
and I'll be waking up.
Daniel.
They have some awesome coffee.
Daniel, here's the deal. A lot of Eden Center stuff is late night, because the Vietnamese folks, a lot of them are working in businesses that are open late, and then when there's businesses closed...
Eden Center isn't open that late, though.
Well, some of the stuff is at Eden Center.
I mean, not open until middle of the night. There's also like a Christmas thing that I kind of feel obligated to make an appearance at tomorrow. There's like this thing they've been talking about.
Is it a holiday party?
Yeah.
It's like an ugly sweater, karaoke, free pizza thing, and I don't really want to go, but I'm going to go for like 20 minutes because a lot of
a lot of ugly sweater parties going on this
year. That's a thing.
I like to
a lot of ugly sweaters.
I like to
it's kind of funny. I mean, it's kind of a cute idea.
No,
it's
but what you do, the best move with an ugly sweater contest is you show up wearing like a fucking dope ass sweater.
Yeah.
And somebody says like, that's a beautiful sweater. And you're like, I guess I'll lose.
No. You smooth and you get laid. You get
exactly. Then just sex. Sex just happens.
It's brilliant.
Endless sex.
Yeah, chicks like the guy who goes against the grain.
Yes.
Yeah. And wears a
Jamie
nice sweater.
Will vouch for that.
Gives me that friction, that good.
Yeah. They're like, he knows about friction. That interests me.
So you're saying Sunday would work better?
Probably. I have to fill out some... Yes, Sunday would work better.
Probably.
Well, I'm trying to think what I'm going to do. I have to watch this documentary. I have to watch this documentary on FDR that I got from the library.
You have to. You just fucking...
Well, because it's due at the library on Sunday.
And you can't ever check it out again. Yeah. You have to pay another $0.
Yeah, well, I have to return the other DVDs to the library. I don't want to renew all 4 of the DVDs.
It's such an inconvenience.
So DVDs, between 1 and 5...
I don't even know why you're getting DVDs.
Yes, I would like to go to Eden Center Sunday, but between 1 and 5...
We know how you're prioritizing your time now.
And
all
I have to fill out forms for my job that I'm starting in January. I have to fill those out on Sunday.
I just don't want to go to Eden Center.
Let's go on Sunday. Right. What time
have I gotten myself into?
What time is good on
Let's
Sunday?
Well,
so like 2 in the afternoon? Breakfast?
I don't know about breakfast.
Jamie, do they do breakfast? Like,
No, I don't know. I'm not up that early.
You should come to Fox's after
but
you
But if
go
he's
to
up at 4.
Okay, you're there on Sunday and Saturday?
And like a nice faux breakfast.
Yeah,
like
four is faux time.
I bring my friend Pat to that one.
Four is faux fun.
Original breakfast.
It's like I always do.
Yeah. Four is faux time.
Yeah.
Faux time.
Not on Sundays or Fridays.
But Saturdays always?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, it's side conversation again.
Whatever your name is, get ready for the big surprise.
Ooh.
Get to the chopper.
I got a surprise.
There was
for
a non sequitur. I apologize.
Get ready for a surprise.
I clicked the wrong button.
I like surprises.
Okay.
So, Willie, no.
Sunday at some point.
Hey, Dan, talk like hell.
What
FDR.
Times work for you?
What do you mean?
Jamie's here with us, so we can coordinate right now.
Anytime. We don't have weekend plans.
Yeah, we're good.
So, okay, so we're going to have.
Let's get some pho.
So, I'm thinking
you got to do some elf. Eden Center shtick.
Would 4 That's or tough. 5 p.m. work?
Yeah.
Do like, something about like tofu.
Like 5 or 6 work?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm thinking 5
six
or
7.
No, 5 or 6 is good.
I'm not into the tofu, but how about some cat?
That was Dan. That wasn't a drop. That was a that was Dan saying it. That was a good impression.
Really?
It's funny because it's also potentially offensive in the context of, you know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
European stereotypes of Asian restaurants. Even though it's not Vietnamese, aren't usually seen as the petty.
I am funnier than I thought.
So, Patrick, Eden Center. What is Eden Center like after sun goes down? Because this time of year, if we go there at 6 p.m., it's going to be dark.
It's like the Vietnam War.
He's like Jamie's parents who I invited them out to dinner in D.C., and they're like, no, we're not going to
go. No, I don't mean out of danger. I mean, is it open? I'm not scared I'm going to get shot.
There's like, a lot of stuff is not open, but stuff is
I'm not scared I'm going
to
get jumped there, okay?
Early, not
all the rest. Some of the restaurants are open a little later.
Restaurants are open.
Will we be able to get pho at 6 in the evening if we go there?
Yes.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Yeah. But will I?
They have like a grocery store that's pretty kick ass.
And well, if you need to buy any like vapes or and like CDs in the same store,
for like you know slurping on afterwards. And so you can get coffee with like jelly in it.
Yeah, it's good.
Really fucking good.
Well, you can get jelly with coffee in it.
It was so caffeinated.
There's a travel agency there.
Huh.
What's the name of that Jello? The Jello bubbles. What are they called?
The bubbles.
But there's like a name.
It's they're
tapioca bubbles.
There's like a different name for them. I can't think of it. I'll look it up.
My question, boba, though, my
boba?
Question,
it might be boba.
Patrick. Boba.
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 Patrick,
boba.
Will I get the full Eden experience at 6 p.m. on a Sunday?
Sure. That's when you would get it.
Okay, 6
it's an
PM.
Evening place. I mean, okay, you can go there anytime, but like there's a grocery store, there's a travel agent, there's jewelers, there's the Korean bone soup place, which is also very good.
They're going to have Christmas lights up now, too, I bet.
There's various soup restaurants.
Yeah, various soup restaurants.
I'm totally down for
a bakery.
You won't get, like, your experience is like you start to latch onto something, and every time you go there, you're like, I need that.
It's like a magical place that I've never been. It's like going through like a one of those doors, like, you know, and like your magical doorway.
It's like Narnia, except there's more like, you know,
like going to
pork.
Oz.
Really
there's
good
more
fried tofu.
There's a happening like
interdimensional
hot pot restaurant there.
What is it?
That
hot pot?
I didn't go to because the wait was too long, but it's supposed to be good.
I want to point out real quick
hot
when
pot.
I was asking about the bubble tea, what that was made of. I'm gonna read what
it's
says
made
right
out
here.
Of butts.
It says boba tea, which you guys said, also called pearl tea or bubble tea, is a sweet drink that combines milk-flavored tea and tapioca pearls that are sucked up through an extra-large straw and chewed. Point being is you were on fucking point. It's tapioca and you said tapioca and boba. And you were right. I was just pointing out that you were right.
Oh, okay.
So
Jamie
I'm sorry. I don't know what I meant by that. I was just like,
Dan is very impressed with Jamie.
I was
right
just
now.
Impressed that it was like, I was like, wow, you got a boba. It was tapioca and boba. Because I thought originally you were like, it's either tapioca or boba.
Maybe
it was both.
Boba was like a store or brand.
Bobo.
No, what I'm saying is this is what it says. Bobo. It's both boba. It's called.
You wearing bobos.
I think it's tapioca. Boba. Boba is like. Boba is
like. Nickname for it.
Is a boba tea is like
Dan's
a name for
bobos.
Tapioca.
It's nice and fresh.
Yeah, I do.
And, like,
oh, he does too.
They call him the boba drink pearls.
What about Beto O'Rourke? You think he's going to be president?
Bobo O'Rourke.
Bobo
O'Rourke.
I think he will
what
be.
A 180 on our.
Yeah,
he just wants to talk politics, even though it's like boring to talk politics.
He doesn't know about Eden Center. He wants to talk about.
I know.
He
I'm sorry, Eden Center. Oh, I've never
out,
been
dude.
To Eden Center.
Go
and
to Eden
once
will,
I go to
Eden. Be at Eden Center.
Get some
very
fucking.
Soon.
Once I go to Eden Center, that's all I'm gonna want to talk about.
Yeah,
okay, so keep
gotcha,
that in mind.
Gotcha.
So now I'm trying to like. Be, this is like the pre. I'm gonna be a different person next
and
week.
And you can get other places.
Get some soup and some coffee.
Well, a lot of stuff.
Some fucking French.
I've got less.
Book a flight at the travel agent.
Yeah.
Get a ring resized at the
oh, yeah.
jeweler.
You can
totally.
Do everything.
They sell karaoke CDs too.
Maybe you can get married. There.
You can get duck eggs
they
at the
women
grocery
up there?
Store.
Are pretty women up there.
There are attractive women.
We can have snack. We can have snack corner with the duck eggs.
Yeah. You know what? I'm realizing I have less than 48 hours as the person I am now. And then I'll be a different person.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in 30 something
about?
Hour. Well, once, because 6 p.m. on Sunday, I'm going to Eden Center for the first time.
Oh.
And I've never been there. So I have this is like, you know, right before Tom Cruise becomes a vampire.
Yeah.
Like right before you get a heart transplant.
Or right before Eden Hyman.
Right. Or right before Brad Pitt gets turned by.
They
Tom
serve
Cruise.
That at the Eden Center, by the way.
Yeah. Mm. He watches one last sunset.
On a sandwich. On
That's
a,
what I'm going through right now.
It's
Come
not.
Come on, girl.
It's not a different dimension.
No, it feels like... No, I feel like my whole life is going to be different. And I don't know if it's bad
That's
or
true.
Good. I think it'll be better. I think it'll definitely be better.
It will be.
But I don't know if it's going to be what I hoped it would be.
It will be different.
It will be different. My life will have been irrevocably changed. Irrevocably.
Irrevocably.
Yes. That is true, sir.
I mean, and so basically I've got... How many hours away is that? That's pretty soon. That's...
It's just down the road.
So it's 1:40 a.m.
Yes!
On December 15th. Saturday, December 15th.
Yes!
So that means it's 6 a.m. That one.
Traffic.
Yes!
So 36.
It's like.
He's lunch.
40 hours away. 40 hours and 20 minutes from now, I will be a different human being.
I'm curious if
Dan. Enjoy pho.
Yeah.
And then like going to Eden Center, it's like you realize that like that's like thinking like America only has spaghetti or pizza.
Yeah.
Right. They got more
and
shit
then
out there.
And you're just like, whoa, there's all this other shit. That's awesome.
They got weird fatty meatballs.
But I need
things.
To have you guys go with me. I can't go by myself.
There's some kind of weird.
I will be too scared.
Daniel is a child.
Mommy, can you take me to Eden Center?
Mommy, I don't go
to Eden
Center.
I take my children to Eden Center plenty of times.
Mommy, I'm scared to go to a popular Northern Virginia.
Do my kids know where all the popsicle, you know, the fancy popsicles? They always remember that forever, like where those are, and they have them there, and they're actually a good price. Like the ice cream truck, like popsicles, the fancy ones with like the eyes are gumballs.
Fuck yeah.
How come I've never been there?
They have that there too.
I've always driven past them, like, oh, Eden Center, whatever.
Yeah, it's like you have to enter.
Because you have to go out of your way to go up in there.
You have to like.
Yeah.
You got to go up in that motherfucker.
And what does he do?
Yeah. Who's your daddy?
Dude, what does he do? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I can't remember the first time I went to Eden Center.
I'm excited.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Well, now I'm scared. Like, you know, if you're afraid to meet, like, your idol when you're a kid because you're like, what if he's an asshole and it ruins it for you?
Oh, no, Eden Center is an asshole.
I still want to meet.
Oh, but you still want to. Yeah, you're right. Like, if you met, like, if you were a big fan of.
Have you admired Eden Center for a long time without mentioning it before or something?
No, but now I'm really admiring it now, and I've never been there.
My mom used to take me there. She would go to the jeweler to have, like, stuff fixed or whatever.
Can you believe this guy?
No.
This guy.
No, I can't.
I don't know why I never went there. I went to the
this
Seven
guy
Corners.
Is unbelievable.
Wasn't there another bookstore up there?
Unbelievable.
At Seven Corners before Barnes & Noble? Was
there
it
was
something?
It was a Borders.
It was a Bailey's.
It was a Borders. Are you talking about before
that was
Barnes
Bailey's.
& Noble?
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about way
at Seven
back.
Corners.
At Seven Corners, it was. Wait, what was?
There's a B. Dalton.
There was
or something.
Oh no, B. Dalton.
Yeah, that's what
it was.
A B. Dalton.
Which one? Where was the Borders?
That was at Bailey's Crossroads.
Oh,
it's a furniture store now.
But no,
there
was a B. Dalton, and then in Lowman's Plaza there used to be a Crown Books way back.
Yes.
Then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember going up there, but I never went across to the Eden Center. I guess because it's like
Crown
I'm in Alexandria.
Books was pretty solid back in the day.
Like there's a jeweler in Alexandria.
They had books.
That I guess my parents.
We got in trouble once at Skyline because at the Skyline B. Dalton because we found out from I think from Don and Mike that the Lion King pop-up book or whatever it had that there was like something related to Lion King that played a sound and a bunch of parents were complaining that it was the monkey talking and it was like it was saying something in Swahili but they thought it was saying squashed bananas up his ass.
Yes, squashed bananas.
And we were just sitting in there and just opening and closing and just like activating it until they asked us to leave.
That was great.
I think we were quite literally sitting on the floor just playing.
It was lovely.
I remember
it was a
that
small place.
That's one of those things that I would have
jammed full of books.
I totally forgot about
narrow
that squash
aisles.
Banana up the ass thing.
Squash banana.
And if you had not
ass.
Mentioned it, I would have forgotten it for the rest of my life.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, it's like there was no reason for me to remember that until he mentioned it.
And when he said squash bananas up his ass, I was like, I remember doing that now. Yeah. That shit was hilarious. Yeah, like the Michael Crichton section.
This is a
was,
risky Google search. I'm trying to find this.
Squash bananas up my
squash
ass.
Squash bananas up his dick.
Well, what was the other thing that they had recently that, God, I can't even remember what it is, but it was a sound, but it was akin to, what was the, okay, there was that dress thing. It's like, is the dress green or black or what was that thing?
That
you remember?
Internet thing.
That internet.
Oh, yeah, the blue and the blue or black. Or
yeah.
Or
oh, there was also.
And there's a sound equivalent later on.
Oh, that sound equivalent
Laurel
freaked me out.
Yeah. Or what was
I had the same thing. I forget exactly.
I could only. I could.
It's because the frequency of what it was played on. Because in the car, I heard one, and then at home on my computer.
Okay,
I heard
so
the
that
other.
Must be it because so I was in one place, and I kept hearing only one. I never heard the second one, but I only listened to it at that one place.
Yeah.
So it must have been the speakers. How they were.
It must have been because in my car I heard Laurel Clear's Day, and then I heard the other one later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I have a weird frequency on my car where it's like kind of.
What's
bassy.
The frequency? Ken?
What the fuck?
Are you guys gonna say that?
Oh shit.
What's the frequency, Danith?
I'm listening to the audiobook Dragon Teeth. by Michael Crichton in the car. I got it from the library, and I'm listening to that shit on tape.
Is it about, like mob business or something?
No,
like
it's
that?
About, like, 1876, like, these people who are searching for bones. It's based on real people who are searching for dinosaur bones, and there are these two paleontologists who are, like, battling each other. It's a fiction book. But
battling, like, having battles? Like, fighting with, like fighting styles?
I haven't gotten to that, so I don't know. Maybe. I've only read. I've never even heard. I've only listened to it. It's a book they found on his computer after he died. So he's had three posthumous books.
Oh, no.
And I'm wondering, did that guy ever sleep? Because he's like Tupac. He's having shit come out.
No, and he went weird at the end.
Well, I know that, but these are good books.
Oh, he did? What do you mean he went weird?
Well,
the
like
end?
State of Fear and Next were weird.
Yeah, so State of Fear was, he basically decided that global climate change wasn't real and that it was a scam.
Oh.
And he sort of went in a bizarre, mildly semi-right wing. But it's the kind of thing that sometimes you see like older, quote-unquote, liberals start talking weird and they're like, oh, no, I'm completely super liberal. I just think that, you know, races might have different intelligence.
Well,
no. What's saying weird stuff
his
like that.
His whole thing was very much, like, it was kind of just a weird thing that he did because, like, actually, George W. Bush asked him to the White House, said, well, I like this philosophy. And Michael Crichton was like, yeah, I mean, he had an ideology he wanted to stick with, I didn't really agree with. But then it's like he was denying it, but not denying
and,
it.
And Michael Crichton books are interesting because there's always like every once in a while in his books, there's a few chapters here and there that just dedicate the whole chapter to some kind of like research or
science,
something.
Yeah.
Like a science. Well, it's like very loosely based to the story, but it's more going off on like the scientific tangent.
That's what was cool.
That was cool, right? So
going
I imagine
all the way back.
He was great at that.
But imagine, I didn't read those later ones, but was it kind of like that, except it went into sort of
I think they're worth
area?
Reading. So I'm a huge Crichton fan.
Yeah.
What his first book, A Case of Need, he wrote when he was a medical student, and he went to medical school, but decided not to pursue medicine,
right.
And instead got into journalism writing, try to target that as well as movie directing with the Westworld movie.
And it was back when abortion was illegal.
Yeah. So A Case of Need, it's a little rough, but it's good. It's early Crichton, and then Andromeda Strain and Terminal Man and all those. They're very, very interesting.
Eaters of the Dead.
Jurassic Park is one of the.
I read
course,
that book.
The Great Train Robbery. Great.
Great Train Robbery is fantastic.
That's the one that's closest to literature that he ever wrote.
Yeah, that's a really great one. But
literature.
Pirate Latitudes and this new one, Dragon Teeth, were both books that were. I think he must have written in the 80s.
Yeah.
But he never published.
Yeah.
Because they're really, they have that flavor to them. I think they just, his widow just published them after he died.
And I haven't read the Pirate Latitudes
yet.
Good.
It's good.
I have it, but Will got it for me. But the thing is what happens is he had a few wobbly books that were like, State of Fear, it's the story is good. Like the writing and the plot at that point is still pretty good. It's just that the actual content is ridiculous.
The underlying...
It's all about how like this ice shelf breaks and it turns out it's because of these eco-terrorists.
Yeah, they were drilling in
because they're trying
to
accelerate global warming to get their agenda.
Right.
And the hero is kind of a piece of shit. Anyway.
It's a long book, too.
But I think it's worth reading if you understand going into it. You're gonna get weirded out because it's like when you start...
Yeah.
Getting the theme of the book, you're like, wait, this is kind of a
So read it as a thriller.
You start realizing
truth.
It.
Yeah.
Fiction. Now,
well,
next,
he's great at the craft. Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. Next.
I haven't read that.
You should read Next. I do recommend you read it. It's a terrible book. The plot is dumb. Just the whole, everything about it is stupid. There's like a whole part of the plot.
This was the last one before he died that he published.
I think
in his
lifetime. Because he also had, because he had Prey.
Prey was in 2002, and then Next was 2006. It was Prey was 2002, State of Fear was 2004, and Next was 2006.
Because, and Prey still had, Prey I thought was, okay.
It was okay.
But again.
Yeah. It had some moments. Yeah. It was written in the first person.
It didn't have it didn't have the weird conservative stuff.
No. I think Timeline was his last great book.
Yeah.
That was a great, it was like basically, for history nerd, it was great. It was like Jurassic Park with time travel.
Well, like for example, just to make it clear that it's not even like it's not even the conservativism that's the issue because you can read somebody like Tom Clancy writes some amazing books. And clearly, like, it's a conservative perspective.
Of course.
It's kind of a rah-rah. Kind of makes you feel like, right.
Go
the enemy.
Get him, USA.
But it's kind of awesome. He's such a good writer that even though I might disagree with some of those, like, worldviews, he gets me into it.
It's fun.
Tom
right.
Clancy's impressive. That doesn't happen with Michael Crichton. Michael Crichton, you're just like, man, this is weird. And when you get to Next is just like the whole plot with the half monkey, half human child that they dress up and try to send to school.
What?
Somebody gets in trouble because the monkey tries to like attack them. Like this,
they adopt a monkey.
No, it's a whole thing with a a genetic researcher who one night just for whatever reason takes some of his own jizz and puts it into an experiment, and then it results in a viable human chimp hybrid.
That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds absurd. I don't want to make any qualms here. It sounds like completely ridiculous, but maybe is it ridiculous in a kind of entertaining way, at least?
He doesn't want to get in trouble, so he takes it home and basically forces his wife to raise it as their like second child.
But it looks like a monkey.
It looks like a half human, half chimpanzee.
So that's more.
They put a baseball cap on him, and he gets in trouble at school for like biting people.
What?
Yeah.
Does he talk?
Huh?
Does the monkey human talk?
So, sort of. Not really. It's all like. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, so the whole thing with Next, I think everyone should buy it. Give his estate money.
I own it. I own it.
Read it. Yeah. It's a weird, just the plot is weird. I've only told you like a super tiny portion of it. There's all this other stuff. And read the behind the scenes of like what was going on when he was writing it too.
I'm kind of disturbed, but I want to read. No. He's a guy who died, and I didn't know he died for 2 years because, you know, because authors put out a book every 2-3 years, and you're like, I wonder if there's a new one coming out. But he died like literally the night that Obama was elected president.
Wow.
So it was like, that normally would be, he was a huge writer, a Jurassic Park, and he did a lot of very noteworthy, very, very
maybe
popular things.
Maybe he was a secret racist.
That's what everybody says. Like, maybe that's what killed. No, I don't think so. Well, apparently he had had cancer for a long time and he didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was true. Like, I somehow totally missed when the lead singer of the Cranberries died.
Yeah, she died.
The Cranberries? Yeah.
When did she die?
The Cranberries.
It was like last,
how do you say it?
She died like a couple Cranberries. Years. Like last year in 2017, right?
I think so, yeah.
It was like
recent. And I didn't find out until a few months later when I was like reading some article about something else.
Yeah.
And it happened to like mention them in passing and I was like, wonder what happened to the... Blah, blah. And then
I wonder what happened to the Cranberries.
That's what happened with me and Mitch Hedberg. I was so into Mitch Hedberg. I was telling everybody hilarious he was. And this was in like 2007. So he hadn't died. He died a couple years before. And I was like, oh, man, he's the best. And he's like, oh, yeah, the guy who died. And I'm like, what?
Oh, bummer.
And I was like, man. No, he's not dead, is he? And they bring up a picture of him. Like, is that the guy? I'm like, yeah.
I had the same thing happen. Yeah. A girl I met at summer camp when I was 13 in Austria, she introduced me to Queen.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is really great. This guy is amazing. And she was like, he just died.
You could have led with that information, you know?
It's like, hey, you want to hear some music from a dead guy?
It is weird
Mozart?
That the first time I saw Help, it was
the Big Bopper?
The first time I saw the movie Help, the Beatles movie Help, it was like life-changing for me. I was 5 years old, kindergarten. It was 1985, and then I'm watching them play. I'm like, these guys are great. I love the Beatles. And I asked my dad, like, where are the Beatles now? And he's like, John Lennon got shot 5 years ago and died. I'm like, man, what time is it? Shit.
It's time for you to get a new watch.
Time to get a new watch. 1:58. I actually like to be by myself. That's my thing. It's good to come out on Fridays, though. And I kind of have my day of the week things that I do, like my Monday night thing, my...
This is the Monday night thing.
This is the
Tuesday night.
I got my circuits.
Which days of the week do you jerk off?
Only the ones ending in Y.
Yeah.
You sounded like a Ferengi.
I didn't even mean it. I don't know what I was going
What's
for.
What's that thing called? The Ferengis that they get their ears, like Ukma or something?
Like the Grand
Umox.
Umox. Umox.
Umox.
Umox. Umox. I bet she graves great Umox.
So silly.
It's ridiculous.
The first Shap or the Bap or what was that episode of DS9 where they were in the game and there was like...
Oh, that's a Move Along Home.
And it was like...
A la Moraine. It's like...
You know what
and they
like?
Were saying the first Shap and the second Shap.
Was it something like that, yeah.
Well, let's say... Okay, let me put it this way. Let's say Ferengis are real, okay?
Jesus.
Let's say Ferengis are real and they make a Star Trek from their perspective.
I think the plural is Ferengi.
Because you know how Star Trek is from the human perspective.
Right.
So let's say on Ferengi way out there... Jesus. That Ferengi way out there, they're making a Star Trek, but they're the heroes.
Do you think I could sneeze myself just
to death.
And then they go, okay, here's
the thing.
But you got to hear, okay,
I want to continue Daniel's thought, but I also want to comment, interject real quick here that I read an article recently about somebody who was like, they held in their sneeze. And it burst their throat.
Yeah.
And
they're
still in the limelight.
Just like internally, and they had to go to the doctor. They got it sewed up and shit, but it was because they had a habit of holding in their sneezes.
Jesse's
and one
dying.
Day it just
why
like ripped their throat
why do you,
internally.
Why do you choose to know
I
those
know
things?
A guy that does that.
So does anybody want to hear my...
yes, that sounds, okay. That sounds horrible, by the way.
Yes. Okay, so here's the thing.
Ferengi.
Jesse's about
their
to
their version of...
Yeah,
okay. Jesse's so, going on his 13th sneeze.
I know,
sneeze.
He looks like he's about to sneeze. I'm like, I'm not going to get started just to get derailed again. Fuck that. Okay, so I'm waiting for it to be over. Okay, so here's the deal. It's not even that interesting. So it's like
no, actually, I'm into it in a big way.
Okay, so let's say the humans in the 20th century, we made Star Trek, 20th and 21st century, and we have these creatures called Ferengis on it that you touch their ears and it's like an erogenous zone.
That are lovable characters, yet very problematic if you think of the potential
well, that,
for
yeah,
the
that's
Jewish
a whole other
stereotype.
Topic. What I'm saying is that they are a real race and they have a if they're a real race and they have a Star Trek, would it be like they just go
what
up and start blowing the human?
What do you mean, like, blowing the human?
Like, you know how, like, you're going up and... Jesse's fucking me up tonight.
Yeah, Jesse, you did it
Jesse,
again.
God damn
it. You realize you just derailed
Fuck
Dan
you,
again?
Fuck man.
I don't
even that interesting.
I don't understand.
Oh, my God. Okay, so
you started talking about some rustling as he was...
Yeah, you know...
Before it was the sneezing, and
Jesus
now you're talking about
fucking Christ. So you know how you go up and
just
you give
get
the
with
ears
it,
the umaks to the ears?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying, like, what if... On the show, you know how Deanna Troi will just go up to the ears.
So
and
what
start,
would humans want?
Yeah, the humans, would they just, like, the Ferengi chick just go up and start blowing the human, and then he'd start telling them whatever they wanted? See, it's a build-up thanks to Jesse.
No,
that was
you're right.
No, I actually know, but I know.
But it's very, like,
no,
sexual
I know what you mean. Yeah,
is my point.
It is a weird sexual
the
thing.
The umaks is very, very sexual, because they get all, like, oh... They start getting really like
right. I know that
orgasmic.
Was always weird,
and I'm like, what if like if it was from the Ferengi perspective? They just start jerking off like a male, and like the guy would be like, all right, I'll tell you what you want.
Well, then also, but then also, like all their women walk around naked, so it really comes back to like a power issue, I guess. With
yeah,
that. But no,
true.
It is true. Their power revolves around like. In that situation, yeah, they're getting umaks is like pretty. They're getting bonafide.
But
know?
They like they get really turned on by any female of any species.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the question.
Yeah.
You just say uh-oh. That it's their version of Star Trek, but you have to be more specific. Is it their version of Star Trek in that it's on their planet, and it's exactly like how they're depicted in Star Trek, except it's stories that are of relevance to them and from their perspective? Or do you mean that like? All the Ferengi are actually the ones that are in charge of Deep Space Nine. The Ferengi are the ones that are populate most of the Federation.
Yes.
And all that stuff.
I'd say it's more like
so
that.
So you just basically, you replace the existing character. So on Deep Space Nine, the bartender would be a human.
Yeah, and he
it'd
would
be,
like.
It would be Ted Danson.
And he'd have a snake in his trousers that if you started tugging on the snake, he would tell you whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
It'd be like
but
that.
It would be his penis.
Well,
but
penis.
From their perspective, it
yeah,
would be
yeah,
like
from their perspective,
the
there's
human...
a sausage.
Yeah.
These people have sausages in their pants, and if you touch the sausage, they do whatever you want.
Is it implied that all those humanoid races, except for that one in The
Last Crusade.
The Final Frontier.
Yeah.
They all have dicks and balls in like their crotch area, except for that one alien that had in its knee or
shit. Oh, the Undiscovered Country?
Undiscovered Country, that's
not all humanoids have their genitals in the same place.
Right, but other than that one, is it generally implied that the dick and vagina thing is going on?
Not necessarily, but more than... the ones that we see on the show... Usually do
unless they make a point in the episode to say that they have a third sex or something like that, like
the
they probably have it.
There is some textual evidence to support the theory,
like bulges.
There is some textual evidence to support the theories that some believe in that Klingons have two penises.
Oh, because they have a redundancy.
They always have a redundancy. Yeah,
and a couple other clues people have noted.
It's for fault tolerance. Their system for fault tolerance, right? So
two giant penises.
Wait. So other thing. Wait. So you think
it's possible? I'm just
it's
saying.
For, probably for redundancy purposes,
yeah, because
right?
they have the whole redundancy thing.
And
they
then
have two of a lot of other.
Could
things.
They have another one?
And
that
you think
just
they're
grows
giant?
Out?
You think they're the big old? Big
yeah.
Old,
oh yeah.
I suspect
no.
So.
No doubt. No doubt.
With spiky things on them.
Oh,
yeah,
see,
no
now
doubt.
That's. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they
How
had spiky
balls?
Things.
How
Two.
Many balls?
Four.
Two.
Four balls.
Four balls.
Yeah. Maybe just two.
Think two?
Just well, two like nice one big, big balls.
Well, why do humans have two balls? It's a redundancy, right?
Yes.
Well, no. Yeah, would they have? Would they have a double? Like, why not? Would they have a double redundancy where they had four balls on each dick? So they'd have eight balls.
Maybe they got three.
No, that's like a fractal.
They got three balls.
Yeah, that's Klingon math I can't do. Yeah.
There would be some kind of black hole that would emerge from that situation.
Yeah, maybe each of the spiky things is actually a smaller penis.
Oh my god.
Testicles.
Oh no. Yeah, you're right.
Spiky penis.
Fractal thing.
That's interesting. I've never thought
of that. Fractal penis.
I'm glad I have thought of that.
But
now,
that's but yeah. So the spiky dick thing, right? There's no reason to think that they do, but at the same time. There's no reason to think they don't. There's no reason to be surprised by that, right?
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, they're kind of a no because they got this. They're all spiky and
well,
like spikes. So,
I mean,
yeah.
So we just need to look up like the Rule 34, whatever the Rule 34 for Klingon is. Yeah, I'll do a search.
Rule 34.
I imagine they just look like normal dicks in the Rule 34.
But they probably those are humans.
I would bet.
Well, Michael Dorn. You think Michael Dorn has a fucked up dick?
No, I suspect it's quite nice.
That's
nothing that would lead me to believe that he has a fucked up dick.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not looking up, when we're looking up Klingon porn, we're not looking up actual Klingons.
There's a Klingon woman who is forcing herself on a Federation male.
How do they get hard, though? Because if I'm nervous, like, I can't get hard.
Well,
most of the time. When I was younger, I could get hard even if I had a gun to my head. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd get hard, like, just the wind blew on me. I'd get hard, you know?
Every morning on the bus ride to school.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a mixture between being sleepy and the vibrations.
What the fuck? Here's
was, a cli- you know, the alien from Alien having sex with
the
Klingon woman.
That was fucked up.
It's the alien from Alien having sex with the Klingon woman.
How does the Klingon woman get the Klingon man hard?
This is the beginning of a riddle.
Are Klingon men just naturally like 12-year-old boys where they're just hard all the
time? Well, it's like, you know, like some of those Klingon chicks had like weird fucking teeth, and then some of them had perfectly normal teeth.
Well, that's from our perspective. That's what from their perspective, the normal teeth were weird. Like, because, you know, like in Generations, and she's like, oh, human females are so repulsive.
Oh, right.
When they're looking at Crusher.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So from their perspective, they're the hot stuff, and she's all nasty and shit. So I'm just putting you in your place. You were saying some racist shit right there, Debbie.
Well, maybe it's...
And I got to call you out. Look, you're my friend, but I got to call you out on that shit.
Maybe it's like...
Damn, dude.
I'm sorry, man. Well, there's some stuff I can take. I can't take racism.
What it is, we some people, like humans, right? We have black hair, brown hair, red hair, blonde hair. But Klingons all generally have like a dark brownish black hair.
No.
But what differs is their teeth. Like, our hair is different.
No.
Their teeth is different. and what Jesse was saying, how their normal teeth, what seems normal.
See, but he says normal, that's the racist part.
No, so hear me out. No, hear me out. Hear me out. Let me finish this thought, please.
All right, sorry.
So their normal-looking teeth to us are probably, like, straight and square and all that shit. The fucked-up-looking teeth are all the pointy, crazy, weird ones, right?
From our perspective,
From our perspective. But to them... Our person with red hair would be fucked up to them.
Yes.
Only dark brownish black hair would look normal to them. Every other hair color would look fucked up to them.
So you're saying that the
their black hair is our square norm or square teeth.
But they have different
red hair is our crooked spike teeth.
Well, I think it's also the fact that when Jesse calls it quote unquote normal teeth and fucked up teeth, to them both of the normal and the fucked up teeth are normal.
Right, no, that's racist what he said.
Yeah, yeah, but what he was saying was he was from a very human-centric point of view.
Humans are better than Klingons.
Oh, man.
See what I told you about those older liberals?
Sometimes you find out stuff about people. I've known Jesse many a year, and it finally came out, man. I had suspected it, but now it's confirmed. You had suspected
that he was racist against Klingons.
He's racialist against Klingons.
Racialist.
Those Romulans are pretty cool, though.
Oh my gosh, this is insane.
Man. Oh, so he's...
No, those are asshole Vulcans, basically.
Maybe something bad happened.
Vulcans are already assholes to begin with.
Yeah, that's true, right. Yeah.
Well, the Romulans are like blood enemies of the Klingons. They really hate each other.
You'll have more fun. Well, no, but they also teamed up. So
when did they team up?
Back in the day, because in TOS, like,
the
Klingons got the cloaking device from the Romulans.
Right.
But now, I'm talking about the 24th century. I'm stuck in TNG land.
I gotcha. Yes. But they used to be buddies.
Vulcans have, like, everyone has cloaking technology, but nobody uses it except for the Romulans and the Klingons.
Not strictly speaking, if you're going just by what's on screen, Vulcans you know, you would expect they could figure it out, but they don't have it. The Federation doesn't have it, but of course tried to develop it secretly. And then on the Defiant, they borrowed one from the Romulans.
So do you think the Vulcans just never developed it because that would involve deception and they're not about deception?
I think maybe.
Yeah,
that's
when did it go sour?
But there was a treaty signed at a certain point, the treaty that established the neutral zone to begin with. So there was the big Romulan war where they never actually saw the Romulans. It was just this horrifying, like, invading force. The Federation fought them. And then, like, in the end, it was all sorted out. And they agreed to the neutral zone. And the Federation, you know, in return, the Federation agreed not to develop cloaking technology.
Was that between the 2030s?
The Klingons already had it.
Was that between the original series and TNG when the war happened?
No, that was before TOS. So on TOS, when they encounter the Romulans in Balance of Terror, which,
I get it.
With Mark Leonard, Sarek's dad, he played Sarek's dad, he played this Romulan.
Got it, okay.
And it's like, it's basically a submarine episode.
I need
cool.
to watch all the TOS ones.
Balance of Terror is a good one. You know?
Can you give me a list of the crucial TOS ones
to watch. I mean, but it's only 79 episodes, so you can also
I may just watch them. Yeah, I may just watch them.
Most of them are worth
it. I've seen like 40 of them.
You know, watch the cartoon too. The cartoon's badass.
At cartoon, none of them ever move. They all just
kind of the cartoon is great.
Yeah, it's pretty good though. Yeah,
and they recycle like the shots.
Oh yeah, like in He-Man, like a stock rolling shot a shooting.
But the Romulans and Klingons in the 24th century really hate each other because Worf was attracted to this chick who he thought was a Klingon. And he's about to bang her, and then he pulls her hair back, and it's like, you're half Romulan, and he looks like he's got to throw up.
Well, there was that Next Generation.
And that chick was hot, too.
There was a Next Generation episode where some guy said he was Vulcan, and, like, they tried to use it, the Admiral tried to use it to, like, put him in jail because it turns out he was actually Romulan, and that was the episode.
Drumhead. Yeah,
that one. Yeah, right. Where she all by the end like lost her shit, and everyone was like shaking their head.
Picard fucked her over by using her dad's quote against her.
Yeah, and that was awesome.
Yeah, Picard gives a major speech in that one, and the one where they're going to dismantle Data.
Yeah, measure
whenever
of a man.
Whenever Picard gives one of those speeches, you're like, God damn,
he's about to fuck some shit
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you know, like Picard's speeches are more badass than like Kirk whipping your which is pretty badass. Kirk whipping your ass is.
I think
awesome,
it's pretty
but...
safe to say, even if you can't decide. Who's the best? You can. Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say Picard's speeches are pretty fucking.
Okay, let me put it this way: Picard's speeches are more badass than Bruce Willis punching you in the face in Die Hard 2.
Yeah,
Die Hard 2.
I like Sisko the best. I read a great comment on Reddit where somebody was discussing seeing Avery Brooks just in normal life, you know, on a panel or whatever, and how bizarre he is and eccentric. I mean,
he's a great actor.
I bet he's an eccentric guy, but he's like a really eccentric guy.
Yeah.
One person called him. They said he doesn't just love jazz. He is jazz.
Interesting.
But I think a comment that somebody wrote, I agree with. I never really thought of it this way. They say Avery Brooks is probably one of the few actors who had to actually, like for Sisko, he had to actually rein in his intensity. He had work to be less intense to get to the level of intensity. Like Sisko is intended to be an intense character to begin with. But the way he acts it seems like he's pulling back.
I can totally see that. Interviews with Jeremy Brett, the guy who played Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
he's a flamboyant, a bisexual theater guy.
Yeah,
but he's like so deadly serious and intense as Sherlock Holmes, and so introspective and brooding. But he is not that in real life. It's just an amazing performance.
Hey, so I was going to mention earlier this. There's an actor that I keep seeing across different versions of Star Trek, and even in Enterprise and shit like that. And I think
Jeffrey Combs. Shran, Brunt.
It's the same guy. It's the same guy who played the dude who invented the jump to conclusions, Matt. The jump to conclusions, Matt guy in Office Space. He's like heavy set, got a mustache. I think it's that same guy.
Yes, he shows up on a lot of Star Trek,
I can't remember his name, but like
is the head of a village or something.
He was the head of the village when Data landed on there and had the radioactive shit.
With a girl.
Yeah, with the girl.
Which is based off of a real story.
Really?
That is very loosely based. It doesn't involve an android that loses his memory.
Yeah, you're right.
But apparently, I can't remember. I'm going to say in my mind, I'm going to say something like Russia or whatever. It's probably wrong. Somebody, it can't have been Russia, wherever it was, There was somebody, some brigands broke into a hospital and stole from like from one of the CT scanning machine. It was the only CT scanning machine in the whole area or whatever. And they went in to rob some stuff from the hospital. And somebody like decided to wrench out the radioactive source, like the cesium source in the CT scanning machine because they figured they could sell it or something.
They fucked up. No.
And so they're carrying this shit around the whole village.
Making a bad
and
move.
People just start getting sick and nobody knows why because this guy is trying to, he wants to sell it because he figures it's worth something.
Can't do that.
But it's just openly radiate. So anyway, apparently that was something that happened in the 80s or
so. Do you think the Star Trek episode was directly based on that? Or
yeah,
that
I read some behind the scenes thing. They were talking about how the writers had read an article about that and thought that would be an interesting.
Well, it was disturbing when you didn't. Everybody here knows. Oh, that's the radiation thing. You don't want that.
Yeah,
but then there's like, oh, this is nice. Yeah, what's this?
It's like a toy. Makes me tingle inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me put it around my genitals.
Let's throw it on our water source. Let's contaminate the water with it.
I guess there were a lot of actors that probably made serial appearances on different
James Cromwell was one.
Yeah.
James Cromwell was
on Deep Space Nine.
He was on Deep Space Nine. He was in Star Trek First Contact. He was he played two or three different characters on TNG. Like he played the Masterpiece Society, I think. He was one of the guys. And then he was the guy who had the information about Worf's dad. You know, like when he's like about to throw him at, he's at Deep Space Nine, he's about to throw him off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that he but there's another one too.
He often in a full mask. I mean, you would never even tell it's James Cromwell, which is kind of brilliant.
And there's a few people who do that. There's like I'm trying to think of the other ones who've like played. You know, I think Worf's brother, like he was in
Kern was in The Visitor.
The Visitor, but there was I think something else. Anyway.
He's the Candyman.
Yeah, he's a Candyman. Did you ever see that movie, The Man Who Never Died?
Candyman. No, but I've heard all about it.
It's amazing.
I heard it's really good.
It's just dialogue. It's brilliant. Seriously dig it the most.
I'm gonna get that.
It's about a guy who basically never died, and every like 40 years, it starts to get obvious to people that he never ages, so he has to go somewhere else and start a whole new life. And he's been doing this for like thousands of years. And
that's
it's like,
gonna happen to me.
Yeah. There you go. But the movie, the premise of the movie
guy.
Is there. He's they're
this
having
guy over here.
They're all meeting at their professor's cabin, and he's sitting them down, and he wants to be honest with them because he's never been honest, and he feels really close.
Let's give
to
it a
people.
Try.
And he's outlived like hundreds of children he's had. He's like forgotten names of wives over the years and stuff like this. And he's sitting down and talking to them, and they're all having this like they're all intellectuals. They're all like professors, so they're all saying this
just like us.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar.
Just a group of intellectuals.
Right, yeah.
Sitting around the fire.
Talking about dicks.
Yes.
Richard Real was his name, the guy who the jump to conclusions man.
Can you
guy.
Show me the picture?
Of what?
Of the guy.
Oh.
If you've clicked off, it's fine.
I was looking up famous people on Star Trek.
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater.
Famke Janssen, a.k.a. Jean Grey.
Jean Grey, I like that.
There was also...
The perfect mate.
There was the astronaut lady, the King of Jordan. He was on Next Generation.
Seth MacFarlane was on an episode of Enterprise, I think.
He was in the first. Wasn't he in First Contact?
Oh, maybe it was First Contact. Maybe it was a movie, actually.
What was he in First Contact?
I think you're right. No, I think you're right.
Who did he play in First Contact?
Just like a background.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't have a speaking role?
I think he had like maybe one word.
Okay, because I've seen that movie like 100 times, so I'd probably.
I think he was on Enterprise, too, actually.
Huh.
Is this guy?
Oh, yeah, that guy. He was in The Fugitive. He
that
was the guy on the bus.
You know what I'm talking about?
Gay.
Oh, I know what you're
and
talking
Harrison
about.
Harrison Ford, The Fugitive, where he's like, you know, like, yeah, I pulled my partner out. You know, I was a real hero. And then, like, they find that he was bullshitting. Yeah. He's like, you want to change your, you want to revise your statement, sir?
Kirsten Dunst. She was on TNG.
Mm-hmm. She was a kid then, right?
Olivia Dabo. Mm.
Who did she play?
Oh yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson also played some kind
on
of gladiator person, right?
On what? An early episode?
On a poor episode of Voyager.
Okay, yeah.
It's not good. I think it might be called The Fight.
I think
Voyager got very uncreative with the episode names.
They really did.
No, Iggy Pop was on in Star Trek.
He was on
Iggy
Deep
Pop
Space
was
Nine.
On Deep Space
he
Nine
was
a
great.
Few times. Yeah, he played a Vorta.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he was actually very like it's not a bit part.
He plays a legitimate like part.
Yes, he has to do like a Weekend at Bernie's type gig in one of them.
Where they have one like the Electroids getting this one guy to just
that one's
walking.
Brilliant because they need to use him as a hostage exchange, the Ferengi, and they're just incompetent and they accidentally kill him right as they're about to make the deal to save their lives. And so they have to they rig him up with some electrodes and make him walk around like Weekend at Bernie's.
And he walks into the wall and he keeps walking into the wall because it's a corpse basically that they've rigged with like things to make his muscles move.
Is Iggy Pop like 90 years old or something?
I don't know, man. He's getting up there.
He looks like it.
So okay, the TNG episode Manhunt, was that the one about like the alien that was like running away?
And, no,
like...
that's a Deep Space Nine episode. You're thinking of the Deep Space Nine episode where O'Brien, ends up trying to save the guy, and the guy's like, says, I didn't want to be saved. It's part of my culture to be like hunted.
Yeah. That's
Manhunt involves some weird
it's
alien
like a first
thing.
Season.
Oh, yeah. I totally recognize Iggy Pop now as Yelgren.
Yeah, he was great.
As Yelgren, the Vorta, right.
No, but what's true about it is that they literally, like, it's not like they cast him as a gimmick, because sometimes they'll do that with rock stars. Yeah. It was like he
looked the part.
He did the job. He did the job. He did a good
job.
Yeah,
I remember he was really good. No, I was asking about that because apparently the drummer from Fleetwood Mac, Mick Fleetwood, was in Manhunt. He played a
really
Antedian dignitary.
I think I remember that vaguely.
I don't think this episode is probably very good.
Fuck that shit.
It's not worth mentioning.
Fleetwood Mac.
Oh man, it's getting late. Are you gonna kick us out soon, Patrick?
Mac.
Oh, Ken Jenkins, the guy who was like the head, who's like the senior doctor on Scrubs.
Scrubs.
Which guy? Director.
Yeah, he was. He played a Q on Voyager.
I saw all the Q episodes recently on Voyager.
It said he also played a Dr. Stubbs on TNG.
Yes, I think so. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Patrick, I just watched all... You know how I watched a lot of the Voyager episodes out of order? There's three Q Voyager episodes. The first one is brilliant, where the Q wants to commit suicide, and that's just a really thought-provoking episode. It's one of my favorite Star Trek episodes. I just think it's interesting. And then the second one, it's almost like they could never get away with this shit in the Me Too movement, where he's in her bedroom, basically, like... trying to like you know fondle her and like rape. It's like, dude, I was cringing watching it because you know how he's like he shows up in his like you know Hugh Hefner robe and he puts her in the sexy outfit. I'm like, dude, that's like rape, man. That's not
it's creepy.
And it's not like she's not like get the fuck out of here. She's like, no, I can't, you know. It's like it's like I no, it's not right. And it's like, dude, you know,
do you remember Jason Alexander in Voyager?
Oh, yeah. He as played just a captain.
Kuros. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one.
Some other
guy.
Ship.
Yeah, some
he was on
shit.
Criminal Minds as a mastermind serial killer, and I was like, it's George Costanza. I can't fucking take this shit seriously. You know,
can't stand you.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, and he's a good actor, too.
He's a good actor, too.
It's not like he was like, oh, why did they cast him? They cast him because he's a good actor, but he's fucking George. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's like...
Jonathan Banks from Better Call Saul.
Ermin
Trout.
Yeah, he was in that one where they're on the planet where they won't die.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a fucked up episode.
It is. And that's where they kill off that other, the woman. And she
but has, she's not killed off because she stays
on
the
planet.
Opaka, Kai Opaka.
Oh, Adam Scott from Parks and Rec. He was on Star Trek First Contact.
What did he play?
As the USS Defiance con officer.
Oh, he was hanging.
It's
with
briefly. It says,
yeah, he's just in the sitting at the.
It's
front.
The Enterprise. He probably said, "It's the Enterprise." You know.
Yeah.
Perhaps today is a good day to die.
He's really good in The Good Place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is there a new season out of that?
Yes. Yeah, we're watching the third season. We're like halfway through the third season.
Yeah. I haven't seen the last three or four. I tend to try to wait a few weeks and then watch a few episodes and blah. Yeah.
Is it on Netflix now? The third season. If I bring my little flashy flash drive, can you do that to me? Okay, cool. Because I really love the first two seasons. I'm gonna rewatch.
Third season's great.
I need to watch. They will never grow old. I have that right on my desktop. I'm gonna watch that shit.
Watch that, and the Shakespeare stuff is good too.
Yeah,
I actually have to give you another show too. That it's another show with. It's got Mitchell and Webb, and they play David Mitchell plays an ambassador to this like made up. Like it's called like Ted to something his stand or something.
David Mitchell.
Yeah, and he's the guy who's the main guy on the Shakespeare show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then Robert Webb plays the sort of deputy, you know, the staff guy there. And is it weird? It's one of those kind of comedy dramas. It's sort
What's
of
it
like,
called?
It's called Ambassadors.
Ambassadors. Okay. So it's like comedy, but also
it's kind of interesting
because
it's comedy, but the setting is quite realistic.
Serious. Yeah. Yeah. No,
they keep
cool.
making you think it's silly, but then you realize, oh no, this is something that actually.
Well, if you
happened.
Look at the news and you see what's going on in the real
life,
that's
they based
pretty
it all
silly,
on
yeah.
they, the writers based it all on they interviewed lots of diplomats and then just. Took stories from diplomats that actually happened to them around the world and kind of placed them all in this.
Oh,
one
now I really
place.
Want to watch that.
Yeah, it's only three episodes.
Oh,
they're long
sweet.
Episodes, but they're like three
so
of them.
If you could you fit The Good Place season three and that on a flash drive?
Possibly. I might need two, but we'll see.
Because I only have one because I lost the other one.
I lost the other one. I had two. Listen
but
up. Okay.
I really want to.
I know they say you got to have two flash drives. Yeah. I had two,
well, maybe,
I swear.
Maybe.
But then I lost one of them. I'm going to replace it at a certain time, but you know, flash drive.
But I lost one of them.
I lost one of them. It was just crazy. I don't know where it went. And part of the reason I haven't bought a new one is because, you know, as soon as I do, I'm going to find that first one. And then I'm going to have three flash drives. What am I going to do?
He just left.
What am I going to do with three flash drives?
All that happens when you have three flash drives, you end up losing two.
Oh, man. Mr. Speaker.
What are you going to do with all this?
I want to mention, last one I'll mention, is Andy Dick was apparently on an episode of Voyager.
Yeah. Called, he was good in that.
It was called Message in a Bottle.
That's the one where the doctor gets, like, because, you know, he's a hologram.
Right. He gets his portable hologram thing?
Yeah, he gets sent to the Alpha Quadrant, and he's on a Federation ship, but then he appears, and he finds out that the Federation ship has been taken over by Romulans, and then he's, like, he activates their holographic doctor, and that's whatever his name is.
Oh, Andy Dick. Oh, I thought you meant Andy it Dick. Was because I can't remember the episodes. I thought you were going somewhere else with that. But no, that right.
The
actually,
voice of Bobby. She was on an episode of TNG.
Voice of Bobby. Bobby who?
Brittany Murphy.
Bobby Hill.
Brittany.
Brittany
Murphy.
What are you talking about?
No. Brittany Murphy
no,
was
like.
Pamela and Adlon. I'm sorry. No, Brittany Murphy was Luann. Pamela Adlon, of course.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Who's Bobby Hill? What are you talking about? I don't even know.
I knew that. I knew that. I was just getting mixed up because I'm fucking stupid. I'm stupid.
Oh, Bobby. The voice of Bobby was on. Okay.
Hey, Dad.
Which episode was it again? Who cares? All right. It's not that important. I'll look that shit up.
Dan, which episode? I'm trying to remember. Was she one of the Vulcan, the proto-Vulcans?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, like it was a proto-Vulcan.
The Watchers, the proto-Vulcans.
Yeah. Wait, are you talking about...
With the holographic cliff thing?
Are you talking about Pamela Adlon?
Yeah, she was one of the proto-Vulcans in the episode The Watchers, where the cliff holographic, the anthropologists are watching them behind a blind, but then the hologram breaks.
Yeah.
And then... You know, they shoot Picard in the chest because they say, you're the god.
And then they rip that off in Insurrection, and you're just kind of like, that's kind of cheap. And you're like, we saw that in the episode, and it was done better.
Yeah.
Yeah, Insurrection, I don't know, man.
It's not great.
It's like it's a long, mediocre episode. It's a two-part mediocre. They wouldn't even made it a two-parter.
No.
It's like an elongated. It's a stretched out.
Stretched.
Semi-forgettable TNG episode from season 3 that you like, it was fine.
Yeah.
And watch it, but you're not going to go out of you. It's not in the top 100 episodes.
I think there are.
I remember reading some article trying to like defend it, saying it's actually a brilliant Star Trek movie.
And
even the comments were like, you're really reaching for that one.
Yeah.
It's a clickbait.
Because they liked it. They said they liked it because it was a throwback. Because it was a throwback to the TV series, because that's what Star Trek should be.
At least Nemesis kicked you in the nuts. I mean, at least Nemesis.
Oh, you're not going down the right path.
All right, forget I said that.
Nemesis is just a bad movie. Insurrection's a mediocre movie.
Okay.
Which you're right, maybe less interesting to watch. It might be more interesting to
watch. That was my argument.
At least Nemesis makes you feel something, even if it's rage and anger.
I'm not here to defend Nemesis.
Insurrection is just like, okay, you know, right. Picard, you know, feels young for some reason and then dates.
When I realized that Patrick truly hated Nemesis was when I was, because my opinion on it is that it's like, I enjoy it. I don't think it's great, but I do like it. There's a lot of problems with it, and there's a lot of things I hate about it. But I remember when I realized how much Patrick hated it, I said, what would you do if Patrick Stewart was next to you? What would you tell him about Nemesis? And he'd say, I hope you get ball cancer. And I was like, oh, you really don't like that movie. It's like, then I was like, all right, I just won't bring this movie up anymore around Patrick. It's cool, you know, just we won't, you know, I respect that. You know?
This is a bad movie.
No, I get it. You're not, you know, I'm not saying it's good.
No, at first I didn't really understand why it was bad. And to this day, like, if I watch it pretending it's not Star Trek, I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah.
But I can be entertained. But the longer, the more I hear about it and arguments and stuff like that, the idea is it's not fucking Star Trek.
My problem with it.
It's not Star Trek, and they get Picard doing pointless action movies.
Yeah.
Things
I know.
For no fucking reason.
It's weird.
That's true.
It's a weird movie.
Here's my opinion on it, is that it sucks, but I think it would suck less if there had been another movie after it that it finished everything properly.
Oh, sure. I mean,
that's my point. Yeah. Because if you had just
Which maybe they can do with the new Picard TV show.
Well, no, but it feels like a movie that it's this isn't the last TNG movie. It's just kind of one they did, and you can kind of forget about it.
And there was, but then
and
there was
building
also
up to something. You know what I mean?
And like, there was also the weird, like, forced sort of connections that they would make, like start like
two and six,
like
yeah.
like how Picard was what was his Shinzon? Is that
yeah.
what it was?
Yeah.
And
that was that
and
was,
how he was bald in that.
That was very
though,
contrived.
Even though
yeah.
he was talking about it was something to do with like he was bald as a young guy
but
in
he
the
wasn't.
Movie, but he wasn't really.
No,
like, it's
in
like there's no reason to make
not.
Him, there's
yeah.
no reason to make
that
him
bothered
bald.
Me. That's always
it's,
bothered
it's
me.
It's because
yeah.
there's no reason to make him bald as a younger person. They're just doing it to make the audience.
Only,
they're only doing it to make the audience go like, oh yeah, I, that.
The
looks
old well, you can make the argument. I'm not gonna say there was any. This wasn't the reason they did it. Okay, I'm gonna say that right now. The only argument you could make is that he was obsessed with Picard because he was, and he shaved his head to look. But that's a stretch.
It seems silly.
Yeah, that's.
There's, I think, yeah. There is. I, if you ask me, I think there are problems, tonal problems,
oh, yeah.
structural problems with every Next Generation film. I don't think any of them are really fantastic. I'm a big fan of First Contact. I enjoy it. I actually enjoy a lot about Generations. Insurrection is mediocre. Nemesis is just a bad movie. But yeah. all of them are not great, and I think one of the reasons is that the Next Generation, it just fits better in sort of a
TV episodic.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's something about
more intellectual. It's more cerebral.
Well, and that's what the article, and I'm not saying the article was good or bad or what. I don't remember the context I read it, but that's what their stretch was like, that's why Insurrection was all right,
yeah.
because it like it's going back to what Star Trek is supposed
but
to be.
It,
which is
but
TV
it didn't
show.
It didn't for a few. First of all, it had the new Enterprise, which is fine, but it just doesn't feel like a Next Generation Enterprise.
Well, they could have done something fine with the new Enterprise.
And,
yeah.
And the, it's, you know, it's all cinematic and
yeah,
and
there's that Briar Patch
which
fight scene.
Weird to
yeah.
me, and I know it's subjective, but what's weird to me is I get way, if you look at Best of Both Worlds, part one and two,
yeah,
and part two is flawed, but if you look at them, there is so much more tension and drama in that two-part episode than in any of the Next Generation movies.
Yeah.
It just works.
I loved
better.
First Contact just because it was a fun crowd pleaser.
There's a lot to I would always recommend First Contact.
I loved
not
it. I just thought it was really
Contact.
Fun. Well, it was good one time.
I just think compared to the original series, the story in Star Trek 2 is a cinematic story. It's not just a good Star Trek movie, it's a good movie.
And so was Undiscovered Country. Yeah.
I agree. Undiscovered Country, Star Trek 4 even is a little goofy, but it feels
it's a movie.
Like
there's a point of having it be a 2-hour long movie. I even defend
Star Trek V in it's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of problems with Star Trek V, but unlike Nemesis, you can feel they're trying, they're failing a lot in Star Trek V, but you can see that they're trying.
Again,
what they're trying to do.
The last thing I'll say about Nemesis, I guess I've already said it, is just that it really
it's a great movie.
No. Is if they, it's like the first part of a story. It's not even a finished idea. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I think a reason that a lot of people hate it is because it didn't do well. They released it the same fucking week as like the second Lord of the Rings movie.
Why was Picard driving around on some planet in some like future drivey thing? And
and there was
and he's all smiling.
Well, that's why it.
I love doing this.
Well, that's why it. That's why it bombed. That's why it bombed because it was stupid. But what I'm saying is that if they had made one after it, it wouldn't be as much of a kick in the nuts. That's all I'm saying. And if the one after it had been good.
All right.
Jesse's all loving this.
He's all. That's all he's saying. I think that's all any of us are going to say.
I'm going to say it all. I'm going to say it again. God damn it.
All right.
Dan. Pamela Adlon played OG in Star Trek The Next Generation episode, Who Watches the Watchers?
Yeah, Word Who Watches
the OG Watchers. OG or Aji or OJI, however you want
to
pronounce
it.
Proto-Vulcans. Don't worry, Daniel. We'll cut all of that out. And it's got everything.com.
We're keeping it, dog.
Reddit.
Don't do it.
Reddit. We have a Reddit.
We have a Pandora, right? Or we have a Spotify?
Spotify.
And we're also on something else.
You can do anything. You type in It's Got Everything, you'll find it. But you're listening to it, so you fucking found it.
I use Pocket Casts, and I just did an easy search for It's Got Everything, and it found it, and I clicked subscribe.
Yeah,
and just like that, just like...
Yeah,
like
we don't
that,
have to
I have
say
all the
that.
Episodes.
We don't have to say it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Do we need to say that to the people who are already listening? I guess if they're listening on the website.
I don't
tell
know.
Your
it's
friends.
Good.
It's got it's, everything. Well, tell your
they might be listening. You know what? They might be listening on the website.
And
like,
maybe they're listening with somebody else. Maybe somebody else is in the room. It's like Marlboro Cigarettes did great advertising. I brought up Marlboro earlier. But like their packs, they say Marlboro on all sides of the carton. And why would the person smoking it need to know that? It's so that everyone around can.
Hey,
too.
Hey, do you know Mm-hmm. What was I going to say?
Dicks.
I've forgotten.
Do I know a person? Do I know a place? Do I know a fact?
No, you got me. You got me all intrigued by that Marlboro fact.
Yeah.
You just knocked the question out of my fucking ear.
Camels is a better cigarette.
They changed it from it's not Marlboro Lights anymore. Cigarette. It's Marlboro Silvers.
Oh, I remember. Mm-hmm. Real quick, because we have to go.
It's like 3 a.m. Yeah.
But because you presented a scenario wherein somebody was listening to a podcast with some friends in the room, and they just have like the podcast like on the speakers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that ever happens. Does that happen?
I was actually, as I was saying, I was like, this probably doesn't happen. No, but I had to go with it.
It will happen. I think it will happen.
The asshole to be like, hey, yo, everyone, you have to sit here and listen to this podcast right. with me. I like it. So I'm going to watch your faces as you as you watch it. And then
maybe the headphones are loud. They can hear it through the headphones because they're like the one headphone is out. Falls out when he's at on a plane, or maybe the guy goes. Here's what it is: the guy's listening on headphones on a plane. He gets up to go to the bathroom, and the headphones are kind of dangling, like you know, off over the chair. And the guy next to him kind of hears it, like.
And he didn't pause it. Why would he not pause the podcast?
He forgot to pause it.
A lot of times, when you take them out of your ears, they pause automatically nowadays.
Well, he has one of those old systems that doesn't do that. He purposely doesn't pause it because he heard this.
To answer your question, Patrick, no, that probably never happened.
I don't think that happens, right?
It's like, no, you don't talk. They're talking now. Listen.
I'm sorry about the nemesis shit.
Why would you take... Believe in yourself, man.
I've crossed the line I shouldn't have crossed.
You fucked up, man. You know what I think? You fucked up.
I did. I dropped the ball, man.
Yeah. All right. Well,
good night.
Good night.
Wait. He needs to do the time.
Oh, yeah. What's the time?
It is 2:35 on Saturday, December 15th. 2:35 a.m. Saturday, December 15th. And we're logging off.
Say something, Jesse.
Yo.
All right. I think that's good. That's a good way to end it, right?
Yeah.
No sound effects, nothing. Just yo.
I got nothing.